The Earth Rotating in Space, Universal International. Night. A grand old American riverboat glides across calm water, its mighty paddle wheel turning. Universal International presents Tony Curtis, Colleen Miller, Arthur Kennedy, The Rawhide Years. With William Demarest, William Gargan, Peter Van Eyck, Minor Watson, Donald Randolph, Robert Wilk, Trevor Bardet, James Anderson, Robert Fuch, Chubby Johnson, Lee Snowden, Don Beddo. Screenplay by Earl Felton. Adaptation by Robert Presnell Jr. and D.D. Beauchamp, based on the novel by Norman A. Fox. The turning paddle wheel leaves frothing white waves in its wake. Music, Frank Skinner and Hans J. Salter. Music supervision by Joseph Gershenson. The Gypsy with the Fire in His Shoes, words and music by Peggy Lee and Lorindo Almeida. Happy Go Lucky and Give Me Your Love, words and music by Frederick Herbert and Arnold Hughes. Produced by Stanley Rubin, directed by Rudolf Matei. The captain and officers of the boat Montana Queen see a shape on the dark water.
What do you make of it?
Could be anything. Hard to tell. The ship will be showing lights.
One of them grabs a rifle.
River pirates, wouldn't I? I'm not taking any chances. Alert the crew and break out the guns. Pull out everything!
Yes, sir.
Inside, the lounge is filled with gamblers sitting at card tables.
Gentlemen, please!
This is just a precaution. You should keep clear of the windows. There may be shooting. Stewards, secure the blinds.
What is this, a raid?
River pirates.
Sure, this is the same place they stopped us the last time.
I can use men with guns up on deck.
Come on, Jack. Might be it.
Might be. Dark enough.
Men go up to the deck. Three card players sit at a table.
Gentlemen, I suggest we let the cards cool off.
Men on deck shoot into the darkness.
Hold it!
That's no boat. It's treasonous dead logs, Marshal. The river's full of them.
And full of pirates, too.
The men on the deck slowly dissipate, leaving just the captain and a crewman. The Marshal, Summers, goes back into the lounge.
False alarm.
He goes to the bar with his friend Matt.
Well, good practice for the crew, anyhow. They could use it. Two boats raided this month and nobody caught. You know that? There's only one way to stop it. Arrest everybody between St. Louis and Fort Benton that isn't honest.
Well, that should relieve you, Mr. Porter. Sorry thing if some pirate took the pot.
Not so sure one didn't.
It's your deal, I think, sir.
Summers and Matt watch a young player shuffle the deck.
You know, I think there's a setup between that young man and the gambler.
Cards, please.
Two.
I'll have three, please.
Three.
Dealer takes three.
What's the opus say?
The dark-haired young player, Ben Matthews, studies the cards in his hand, then places some chips in the center of the table.
100. 200.
Well, I'll raise it 300.
Well, suppose we make it an even 1,000, Mr. Porter.
I fold.
Balding Mr. Porter looks a bit uneasy as the grey-haired, elegant gambler Carrico lays two piles of chips on the table. Matt and Summers look on from the bar as Ben taps the table and throws in his hand. Porter looks at his cards nervously.
Well, I'll call you for the 1,000. Three aces.
Sorry, not quite good enough. Full house.
Carrico lays down his cards and Porter stares at them as Carrico gathers up all the chips. Ben looks uncomfortable as Porter holds his handkerchief to his mouth and stands up. Ben stares up at Porter with a sympathetic look in his eyes.
I'm clean.
Well, you could arrange credit.
I don't have any credit.
Looking stunned, Porter walks up to the bar. At the card table, Ben seems ill at ease.
I've had enough. Anyone care to fill in?
Sure.
Ben's heading out and passes Matt.
That was a pretty rotten thing you did.
Ben takes out his cigar.
What was?
Cheating the old man.
Easy, Matt.
Porter was playing with other people's money. He's got to account for that money to the man he worked for.
That's usually the case with four flushes, isn't it?
That's not the point. I saw you dealing from the bottom of the deck.
Matt.
Summers stands between them.
I think you owe me an apology, sir.
Don't push your luck, boy. If you were cheating, and I have no doubt you were, you'll slip up one of these days. When you do, the law will be on the side of the man who kills you. Now move along.
Ben ruffles the chips in his hands. He walks away looking back at Porter sitting desolately at the bar.
Simmer down, Matt. Nothing you can do about it.
Summers strolls out of the lounge. Matt stares stonily across the bar at sharply dressed Ben, who looks guilty and uncomfortable. Porter turns away from the bar as though in a trance. Leaving his drink, he walks away. Ben looks moved as he watches Porter leave the lounge. Matt also walks towards the exit, passing Ben.
Mister, you forgot something. The apology, but that can wait. I didn't know your friend was playing with someone else's wad. He was throwing it around like he owned a bank.
I don't think that changes the situation as far as you're concerned.
Tell me something, sir. Do you ever gamble?
Not with strangers.
Or with other people's money?
That's right.
Well, why don't you try it? That ought to get you in the game.
Ben leaves some chips on the bar and walks out of the lounge. Grey-haired, well-dressed Matt stares at the chips, then picks them up with a thoughtful look on his face. Later, back at the table, Matt's playing with Ben, Carrico, and two other players.
What does the opener say?
200.
I fold.
I call.
I'd like to break your luck, Mr. Comfort. How about flavoring it up, say, 500?
Let's make it 1,000.
Not sweet enough. 1,500.
It's too tall for me.
Looks like all three of us have something in this hand. Let's play for 2,000.
Matt, Carrico, and Ben are the only ones still in. Carrico puts down his bet, and Ben looks tense and awkward.
The last raise did it, you lost me.
Carrico looks shocked, but restrained.
You didn't lose me. I call. What do you got?
Very little, I'm afraid.
For a five. That makes my three nines mighty powerful.
You seem to have lost heavily, stranger.
Guess it's not my night.
They've been running bad for me, too. Isn't it customary to give a man a chance to get even?
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm not familiar with the niceties of the game.
I figured you for a man of high ideals. Seems I was wrong.
You did. I figured you for a bad loser. I was right.
Carrico reaches in his jacket, but Matt pulls a pistol.
I trust you sleep well, sir.
I shall, with this beside me.
Good evening.
Carrico walks out stiffly. Matt lays his revolver on the table and turns over Ben's cards to see that he had three queens with an ace kicker. In his cabin, Carrico's pouring himself a drink as Ben comes up to the open door.
Come in and shut the door.
Ben does as he's told.
If there's one thing I can't stand, it's cheat, especially if he's working against me. And that's what you were doing, Ben, my lad, wasn't it? Me, that dredged you out of a St. Louis sewer, raised you like a father, and even taught you a gentleman's trade. For this, you sell me out to a clumsy mark who wouldn't know a flush from a fish. What kind of a split did he give you?
He didn't give me anything.
How much?
Nothing.
Don't tell me you're going soft.
Maybe, but tonight I got so fed up I gave this sucker a break.
At my expense.
You're even. You took it from the other mob.
That for selling me out, you dirty little sneak. I could have overlooked it if you'd taken the cut, but just to give a sucker a break to see his big, happy smile, that's the most dishonest thing I ever heard of. I can never trust you again. We're through, Ben. I was going to quit him. Who is it? That little jizzy with the big brown eyes and Galena?
She's part of it.
What a criminal waste of talent.
Carrico sits down and fills his glass. Ben looks over at him from the door, blood trickling from the corner of his mouth.
Someday I'll pay you back what I owe you.
Just leave me those clothes you're wearing. I'll need them for another shill.
Carrico knocks back his drink. Ben makes to leave, then looks back at him.
Good luck, Carrico.
Luck? What makes you think I ever needed that, boy?
Ben looks away and leaves. He walks along the dark deck, passing Matt, who's leaning on the corner.
You're out of a job, aren't you?
What's the difference?
Well, I feel it's partly my fault. I gave Porter back his money. Here's yours.
Thanks.
Step in here a minute, will you?
Matt opens the door to his cabin, and Ben follows him in.
I think we ought to have a little look at that lip of yours.
Matt takes off his hat and pours water from a jug onto a white cloth. Ben notices a life-size carving of an Indian chief.
Yeah, he's got a cut lip too. A little paint will fix that. There you are. Sit down.
You know, this lip will heal all right by itself. You don't owe me anything.
Well, I owe you an apology, and I thought I might make it over a drink.
I don't drink unless it's business.
Oh. Well, cigar.
Likewise. What's on your mind?
Business. Any plans?
Well, I'm through with gamblers, if that's what you mean.
I've been getting around to offering you a job, but I'd like to feel sure. I'd like to know I made the right move.
How can you be sure of any move before you make it?
Well, you can't, but there's less risk in buying proven merchandise, which you are not. What do you know about horses?
I like them. They don't ask any questions. I like that wooden Indian friend of yours. Say, what are you doing with that thing anyway?
Oh, my brother Brand asked me to pick one up for him. It's a hobby of his, collecting odd trophies. Our real business is ranching. If that idea appeals to you, look me up.
Thanks. I'm going to have to talk to someone about this.
Not the gambler.
Oh, no, no. It's a girl.
Oh.
She wants to get married.
Then you're going to need a job.
Say, you try pretty hard to be fair, don't you, mister?
Well, I just find it's the easiest way. You've been doing things the hard way, son.
They shake hands.
Good night.
Good night.
Ben leaves with Matt's card. Ben walks along the length of the upper deck. Marshal Summers is perched on the wooden railing, watching him.
Hey, son. I saw you going into Matt Comfort's cabin.
That's right. Now I'm going into mine.
Let me give you a tip. Keep away from Mr. Comfort.
Why should I? He offered me a job.
What kind of a job?
You ask him. Look, Mr. Comfort and I are all squared away, Marshal. What are you worrying about?
I just wouldn't want to see him clipped. Neither would the folks in Galena. They think a lot of him.
Galena? I didn't know his ranch was there.
It's a small town, packed full of Matt's friends. Anyone who isn't is sort of in the minority, if you get the point.
I'll keep it in mind.
And I'll be keeping you in mind.
Summers puts his cigar in his mouth and walks away down a flight of stairs to the lower deck. Ben pulls Matt's card out of the breast pocket of his tailored blue jacket and reads the details. Turning around, Ben starts when he sees a couple of men carrying Matt's Indian chief statue through a doorway. Ben walks along the upper deck to Matt's open cabin door. Hearing a noise below, Ben looks over the railing and sees the statue being loaded onto a rowboat. Ben walks into Matt's dark cabin. Matt lies on his bed with a knife in his chest. A dark figure steps out of the shadows and attacks Ben, who punches him back. Ben and the man struggle in the dark cabin. Still fighting, they stumble out onto the deck. The man punches Ben over and pulls a gun. Ben throws a chair and the man drops his gun over the side. The man, who wears a black Stetson and a bandana over his nose and mouth, scrambles upstairs to the top deck. Ben follows him, and the fight continues. The man pushes Ben against the railing, the huge paddle wheel turning below them. Ben shoves his assailant back. The assailant quickly takes off his studded belt and whips Ben across the face with it. Ben is weakened, but grapples with the man. The man punches Ben across the face, then throws him over the railing. Ben drops into the water by the paddle wheel, then surfaces, thrashing about in the foaming waves. The man in the black Stetson gets into the rowboat and leaves with the other two men. Ben desperately swims through the foaming waters. The riverboat glides away into the night, leaving Ben alone in the middle of the water. The water has calmed as Ben swims towards the bank. He clambers out of the water and crawls along the grass. Sodden Ben comes to a clearing and hauls himself to his feet. A telegram office.
On the murder on the Montana Queen, Matt Comfort.
Matt Comfort? Murdered? Who did it?
Did they catch him?
Got one of them, all right. Some gambler. I better get Bram.
Did I hear you right about my brother?
What it says, Mr. Comfort. Gambler's Liam's Carrico. Still looking for his shill. Some kid.
Boat's due in half an hour.
Don't worry, Mr. Comfort. We'll take care of this.
Matt's brother, Brand, walks away. The Montana Queen has arrived at the dock and an angry crowd is there to meet it. A gangplank is lowered between the boat and the dockside. Carrico stands on the upper deck with Summers, staring out at the angry mob with a frightened look on his face.
What are you trying to do, get an innocent man lynched? That mob will tear me to pieces.
Not if I can get you behind bars. And who says you're innocent?
Another man comes over to Summers and Carrico.
Looks bad.
Let's get him inside his cabin. Hurry up.
Brand and the angry townspeople jump onto the boat in search of Carrico. They suddenly pounce on Carrico and grab him. A couple also grab Summers.
That man's my prisoner. I demand you turn him over to me.
That too, Marshal. We only want him for about 5 minutes. See if you can find his shield. He's got to be on board someplace.
Some men search the boat while others throw Carrico over the railing and onto the dock, where he's caught by more townspeople. The townsfolk carry him away. Three showgirls watch from the balcony of Andre's saloon.
Well, doesn't he get a trial or something?
Naturally. That's the jury coming in now.
Carrico's in the back of a wagon underneath a noose which hangs down from a tall leaning pole. Ben walks round a shadowy corner and pauses, watching. He whistles towards the saloon balcony. One of the showgirls, Zoe, looks round and runs around the corner of the balcony to wave down at Ben. She heads inside, and he waits. A well-dressed man's playing the piano as Zoe, in glittery showgirl's outfit, runs along the landing and down the stairs. She makes for the exit as the man suddenly grabs her wrist.
You'll see lots of hangings if you stay around here.
Let me go, Mr. Boucher.
Much more stylish ones. A hanging is like a good dinner. It requires preparation. They're in too much of a hurry tonight. So are you.
Zoe pulls free of Andre and runs outside and across the road to Ben.
Ben, I was afraid they'd found you. They've got Carrico and they're looking for you. They mustn't see you, Ben. They've gone wild.
Carrico didn't have anything to do with this, neither did I.
Oh, I believe you, Ben, but they won't. They'll hang you.
No, they won't.
Don't do it, Ben. Don't try. Yeah! Yeah,
Ben stares in horror as a whip cracks and a horse pulls the wagon away. The shadow of Carrico swinging from the rope is cast onto a business hoarding. The mob starts to dissipate.
Where's the kid?
got an extra rope.
Let's find that kid.
Ben and Zoe hide.
Will you go now, Ben? Please, for my sake, do. Come in.
All right, I'll go, but what am I going to do about you, Zoe? I can't leave you here.
I'll wait, no matter how long it is, I'll wait.
But you waited long enough. I don't want you to wait any longer.
Don't worry about me, Ben. Just come back for me.
Ben walks away into the darkness, leaving tearful Zoe standing on the shadowy corner. A poster stuck on a wall. Wanted, Ben Matthews for the murder of Matt Comfort. Notify Marshall Summers. Wearing skimpy red outfits, Zoe and the other two showgirls are in the dressing room. Zoe opens a letter and reads, "Dearest Zoe, I've been on the move under the name of Martin, working my way west. The jobs are hard, but at least I'm learning about ranching, so please don't get discouraged. We'll have a spread of our own someday, just the way we dreamed it. Thanks for your letter." Hearing the music strike up, Zoe locks the letter in a wooden box, slips the key down her top and runs to the stage with the other two. Ben's wanted poster looks faded and forgotten as it flaps torn on the wall. Zoe sits alone in her room and writes a letter addressed to Mr. Ben Martin.
They're waiting for you, Zoe. But let them wait a little.
Zoe discreetly kicks the letter under the couch as smiling Andre walks over. A herd of cattle walk along a dusty track under the watchful eye of cowhands. Ben and the cowboys come into the ranch office.
Yeah, killing work rounding up them steers. My saddle's wore clean out.
Always mine.
Any mail, Luke?
Well, let me see. One for you, Ted. Package for you, Johnny.
Hey, that's the ointment I sent for.
Well, here's something for Ben Martin. Smells like a bill. Nothing for you other boys.
Ben excitedly tears open the envelope, then looks disappointed.
It is from the blacksmith.
You ain't had one of those perfume kind in months, Ben.
I know. Wait a minute, Luke. I think I'll be moving along.
Then you'll be wanting your pay.
That's right.
Going home?
Well, you might call it that.
Hate to lose you, Ben. Don't know how we're ever going to get the West settled if you young bucks won't sit still in one place.
I've got to settle something more important first. Thanks, Luke. I'll pick up my stuff at the bunkhouse.
Ben shakes Luke's hand and goes. A steam train rattles through the western wilderness. Holding a bundle wrapped in cloth, Ben, in Stetson jacket and trousers, strolls into a ticket office.
I'd like a ticket on the stage for Galena.
There's no stage out of here for a couple of days. If you're in a rush, get back on that train and take the steamer from Pierre. You'll be in Galena tomorrow night.
What?
Same fare, and you get a boat ride.
I don't like boats. Where's the nearest stable around here? I want to buy a horse.
Down the block.
A man surreptitiously watches Ben drop his coins into a money belt under his shirt.
Thanks.
Ben walks out, and the man, smoking a cigar, strolls after him. Riding through rugged wilderness, Ben glances behind him, then guides his horse behind a rock and dismounts. The man who was watching him comes riding by, and Ben jumps out from behind the rock, aiming his pistol.
Put that gun down. I'm here to help you.
I don't need any help.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Everybody needs help in this treacherous country. When I saw you riding out of town alone, I said to myself, now there goes a poor devil who needs a guide. But we can't be here for the night. It's a nice spot. Easy to defend.
Put your hands up.
Oh, you're not serious. My gun's in my saddle. Put that thing away. Say, we've got grub, haven't we?
Well, enough for myself. I wasn't expecting to share it.
Well, we'll manage somehow. Now, you get some wood and I'll rustle the chow.
But what?
Don't worry about a thing. Leave everything to me.
The stranger roots through Ben's saddlebags. He finds a large leather wallet, which he pockets.
When you're safe in Galena, you can pay me whatever you like.
Hey! Wait a minute. What are you doing?
Getting some grub. Bacon. I'm mighty partial to it.
Give me my stuff. I'll handle this.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
Then go get the wood.
All right.
Hey, how did you know I was going to Galena?
My very dear friend, what kind of a guide would I be if I didn't even know where you were going?
Later, Ben and the stranger are relaxing by a campfire. Ben looks weary.
You ought to turn in?
Yeah, I'm going to. As soon as we clean up.
Oh, leave all that to me. You got a hard ride ahead of you tomorrow.
Say, what's your name anyway?
How does Rick Harper sound to you?
Sounds like you just made it up. Mine's Ben Martin.
I don't believe that either. Names don't matter, my friend. People don't remember them anyway. But faces, they never forget.
Rick and Ben share a smile across the campfire.
Good night.
Ben stands up and walks over to his blanket a few feet away. He takes off his gun belt, lies down on the ground, and pulls the blanket over himself. Ben lies with his back to Rick, who quietly puts down his plate and puts Ben's plate in the frying pan on top of it. Rick stands and cautiously steps over to the saddlebags. He reaches over to his gun and tries to pull it out of the holster. Rick's horse runs off. Ben runs over to Rick and pushes him over.
I had a hunch you tried that. That's the reason I tied your trigger down.
How could I stand guard without my gun?
Don't give me that. You and I know what you were after, my money belt.
Well, that's the most attractive thing about you, Ben.
Well, except our friendship. Well, our friendship's over.
Hey, you're not going to maroon me.
Stay where you are.
You scared my horse off.
Well, I'll steal another.
Well, I may have to. Ben, you're encouraging crime.
Day and Ben rides alone. He pauses at a stream and dismounts as Rick rides over on another horse.
Hey, Ben!
Ben pulls his gun.
Look, pal, no gun. Hey, I took your advice. How do you like him?
What do you want?
I think we'd make a great team. I've got the charm, you've got the know-how.
That trick with the pistol showed real genius.
Uh-huh. Any other reason?
Sure. I'm broke and you're not.
You better stay on that horse you stole. I don't team up with thieves.
That's a pretty choosy remark coming from someone who's wanted for murder.
Hey, my letters.
The gal who wrote these seems to think you're innocent. Are you?
So you're going to blackmail me, too?
Oh, Ben. Well, you're a poor judge of character. Would I be giving them back to you if I wanted to blackmail you? You ought to thank your stars I didn't fall into completely dishonest hands.
Rick's given back the leather wallet.
You said you were a guide. How far's Galena?
Twice as far as the way you're going. The shortcut's that way.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're on, but only as far as Galena. From then on your own.
It's a deal. You see, it doesn't take much to make me happy.
Well, I'm so glad you feel like that because you're not getting much. Let's go.
Horsemen approach.
On second thought, the other way's shorter. Come on, they'll hang us both.
But I didn't steal anything.
You want to argue with them?
Ben and Rick gallop off as the horsemen ride across a hillside towards them, firing. Ben and Rick ride across dry scrubland, still being pursued by the horsemen. They come to a stop on a clifftop and the horsemen stop a short distance away, shooting at them. Ben and Rick jump off their horses and shoot back at the 10 or so horsemen. Ben and Rick take cover behind a large rock at the cliff edge.
Country infested with decent citizens. You got any ideas?
I don't think I'll need a guide anymore. Goodbye.
Smack that van, you'll drown.
Ben jumps off the cliff.
Be careful of the money.
The gunmen run towards the rock, and Rick has no option but to jump too.
I can't swim.
Well, hang on to me.
With Rick clinging onto him, Ben backstrokes across the wide river. A riverboat approaches as Ben and Rick make it over to a floating log.
Hey, get your hands off my money belt. What are you trying to do?
I just wanted to see if we're still there. Follow me,
all right, over. We'll pick them up. Half on engines.
The riverboat is the Montana Queen. A few passengers and crew pull Rick and Ben onto the deck.
Much obliged.
Resume speed.
Yes, sir.
What was all the shooting about?
Road agents.
After his money.
Haven't I seen you someplace before? Possibly
no.
Aboard this
no,
boat?
No, not me. I'm a mountain man myself. Wyoming.
Big rancher. You've heard of Martin's Lazy M, haven't you? Oh, sure you have. This is Mr. Martin.
Martin.
How do you do?
I guess I was mistaken.
Any place I can dry off?
What he means is we'd like to look at the Deluxe staterooms. After which he'll make a donation to the crew.
Very well. Top deck for these gentlemen.
They walk to a flight of stairs.
Oh, I almost forgot, Captain. This is Mr. Harper. My groom. Put him up with the crew.
Groom is out.
Ben goes upstairs.
Behind the boiler room.
Rick trudges away, deflated. Later, Ben's in his elegant cabin while a steward does some ironing.
Who's there?
Your groom. Fresh from the delights of the boiler room.
I thought there was some regulation about riffraff mixing with the first class passengers.
Well, I could look, can I? Just wanted to see how the swells lift. Not bad. Not bad at all. Isn't this a little steep on our budget?
Thank you, Chang.
Lunch is served.
Lunch!
I reserve your table, Mr. Martin.
Please do, on the shady side.
Yes, sir.
You don't miss a bet, do you?
That's the duty of a guide, Ben. I have to keep my eyes on you.
Well, I can't get lost between here and the dining room.
No, but I can. Shall we dine?
They come out onto the upper deck, smoking cigars.
Hey, didn't you forget something? Where's the little old bell?
Oh, it's just a precaution. I put it in the captain's safe.
In the captain's safe? Hey, you never can tell about those captains. I knew a captain once who was a crook.
The captain and two gentlemen take their seats at a large table in the middle of the dining room. Ben sits at a side table with Rick, who's hungrily eating.
You know, it's a good thing they got a cargo boom on this boat. They're going to need one to get you out of the chair.
Flag the weather, why don't you take a look at the pie department?
On second thought, I don't think the boom will do it.
A man in uniform and two ladies join the captain and men at the center table.
Well, Colonel Swope, welcome aboard. You got on at Pierre, didn't you?
Yes, I went straight to bed. Oh, Captain, may I present my nieces, the Mrs. Dal Marie Smith and Vanilla Bissell.
Miss Bissell.
I'll take Vanilla.
Mr. Gassowary and Mr. Bran Comfort.
What are you trying to do? Spit on those lovely creatures?
Bran Comfort, I knew your brother Matt well. You race horses, don't you?
Yes, I'm still running the ranch.
Best horse flesh in three states, and here's to the man that raises them, my longtime friend, Bran Comfort.
The door is blown out by an explosion. Ben and Rick dart for the back door, but are stopped by river pirates.
Come back. Line up in the center. Backs to the table. Drop your hardware. Ladies, too.
The women take small revolvers from holsters on their garters. In the wheelhouse...
Swing her over against the bank.
The mate nods to the wheelman, who turns the boat towards the bank. The captain's safe is open and a pirate fills his sack. Other pirates take valuables from the passengers. Rick and Ben stand among the passengers with their hands up.
I suppose you know that explosion was a safe blowing up.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, if you'd let me rob you in the first place, we wouldn't be in this fix.
Miss Vanilla drops a pouch and makes to hide it.
I saw that!
A pirate grabs for it, but she knees him. He slaps her, then Ben grabs him.
Duck!
Rick, Ben, and Vanilla hide under the table, and the pirate drags Ben out. The boat runs aground on the riverbank, knocking down trees. In the dining room, Ben knocks out the pirate, while the other pirates escape.
Somebody stab him!
Stay where you are! Wait for me!
Ben's pulled his bandana over his mouth and makes to run out with the pirates, but Rick breaks a chair over him, knocking him out. The pirates get away and everyone crowds around Ben. Rick pulls down his bandana.
Well, we got one of them anyhow.
This'll be great news for the marshal.
Hold on, he's no pirate. He lost as much money as any of you. Ask the captain.
Mr. Martin's money was in the safe along with the gold shipment.
He did everything he could to stop them. You saw him, Van.
Oh, they were both wonderful.
What was the idea of the mask?
Well, I was going to trail him and see if I could get our money back.
Oh.
It wasn't such a good idea, was it?
Well, I'd say it was a good try anyhow. We owe you a vote of thanks, young man.
Well, I'm sorry it didn't work, sir, but... one of their buddies is over there. If you wake him up, maybe he'll give you their address.
Go get him!
Later, in the cabin, Rick's giving Ben a shoulder massage.
Yeah, that gang sure made a great haul. The gold, a ton of jewels, the cash. What a fine precision team.
Well, they really clipped me for everything I had. Which reminds me, I don't know what you're hanging around for. I can't even pay for this massage.
Nobody's rushing you. Next best thing to money is friendship anyhow.
Do you really mean that?
I don't know. Sounded good. But it didn't sound like me.
I've got a lot of enemies in Galena. I'm liable to need a friend.
I'll bet Brand Comfort would have a fit if he knew you chopped his brother. Oh, wait. Not that you did it, you understand. It was just a thought.
You better read those letters.
Rick opens the door to the steward with drinks on a tray.
Passenger have been working on pirate you catch, Mr. Martin.
Well, what's happened?
He no talk. Captain, he wire ahead to Marshal Summers.
Where?
Next stop, Galena. Marshal, he make him talk.
Put it over there.
Yes, sir.
The steward puts down the tray and goes. Ben looks worried.
Man, you look like all your rabbits died. Is it the marshal that's bothering you?
He'll investigate everybody. He'll recognize me for sure.
I think maybe not.
No, you don't know that bird. Remember what you said about never forgetting a face? He's the guy that invented the idea.
Exactly my point. He doesn't have to see your face.
Ben looks puzzled. Rick sits back with a confident grin and takes a gulp of his drink. The Montana Queen gently glides alongside a wooden dock where Marshal Summers waits, along with several men with rifles. Everyone's gathered in the dining room and the captain turns to Summers.
Marshal, I've got all the passengers in here and the crew is waiting in their quarters.
Good. Where's the prisoner?
Below decks, well battened down.
I'll get to him next. Oh, hello, Brand. Rough passage?
Plenty rough. Under pocketbook.
Now, folks, just a few questions.
What do you got there?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you don't. Hold it. Stay where you are. Marshal?
Ben's on a stretcher.
Marshal?
He covers his face with the blanket.
Yes, mate.
They got somebody under the blanket there.
Who is it?
One of the heroes of the raid, Marshal.
Well, let's take a look.
No. He's in a coma. Is that Mr. Martin?
He's had a relapse. I'm taking him to the hotel and call a doctor.
And you should. Mr. Martin risked his life for us, Marshal. If there's anything I can do for you and your friend, be sure and call on me.
Thank you, sir. Maybe we will.
See that the casual gets to the hotel.
Yes, sir.
Not you. You may have some questions to answer. Everybody inside.
Ben is taken away on the stretcher and Rick goes inside. Evening and Ben's in a room at the hotel looking out of the window at the main street. Rick comes in.
Hey. We got away with it thanks to Comfort, but that marshal's bound to show up sooner or later.
Well, how much later? I came a long way to see somebody.
I wish I could talk you out of it. But you're so dead set that I might as well give you the good news.
Good news?
Yeah.
What kind of good news?
The marshal's taking the boat to Fort Benton with the pirate you walloped.
For how long?
Overnight.
That's going to give me enough time to get this settled. Let's go.
Grinning Ben grabs his jacket and leaves, followed by Rick. The saloon is filled with tough-looking locals drinking, chatting, and smoking. Ben and Rick come in. Rick eyes up the showgirls chatting to customers at the bar. He stops by one of them and Ben pulls him away. Ben and Rick go to the end of the bar and look around.
You see anything?
No, she's not here.
Well, gals are like cats, Ben. If you leave one behind, it's liable not to be there when you get back. You ought to count your blessings and go bareheaded.
I'd have a drink on that, except drinks cost money. All right,
he's coming up. Ben takes cash from his boot.
Order us a couple.
So, you're a sneak.
Magic boots.
Oh, happy days. Send us a match pair of straight whiskeys, my friend.
A bottle slides over.
Cheer up, Ben. The next best thing to finding a gal is a loyal buddy to drown your sorrows with.
Maybe you're right. I'd like to make sure first.
On the balcony, a man in a flamenco suit dances, and Zoe appears in a glittery red dress and long red feather boa.
fell in love with the gypsy.
Star of the show.
Danced with a flame in his shoe. Made me believe that he loved me. Made me sad, made me happy too. That gypsy with the fire in his shoe. I was a fool to believe him. Love makes a fool out of you. Don't give your heart to a gypsy. If he dances so well, the stars can tell that he has fire in his shoe.
Zoe spins and the flamenco dancer leaps around her on the balcony.
He must dance, I know it well, but I love him so. Why can't he dance for me? Oh, why must he go?
Zoe comes downstairs to join the dancer on stage.
So don't trust a fellow named Chico. If he throws a red rose to you, the one that he gave me is faded. But those dark flashing eyes, they burn so bright, just like the fire in his shoe. Just like the fire in his shoe.
Zoe smiles to the crowd, then throws one of them a rose and walks past Ben at the bar.
Hello, Zoe.
Have fun, honey.
She suddenly stops, realizing who it was.
Ben!
She walks back to him.
I thought you'd forgotten me.
I thought you were one of the customers. You've changed so. Bigger, better, but the same Ben.
You've changed too.
If you'll excuse me, I'll mosey around a little.
Why didn't you answer my letters? You had me worried.
Come on, Zoe. How about happy-go-lucky?
I've got to go on again, Ben. Wait for me.
A couple of customers sit Zoe up on the bar. Ben watches glumly as she hops off again.
There was long, lean Laramie Will. Took me walking over the hill. When he asked, was I faithful? Could I tell a lie? Happy-go-lucky am I. There was big, bad Ben from Cheyenne. Tried to be my man among men. Bet he thinks I'm a birdie the way I did fly. Happy-go-lucky am I. I'm like a bee among the flowers. So busy buzzing the spring has sprung. I'll be a bee and buzz for hours. I'll do the stinging before I'm stung.
Andre's come in.
Cause a matrimonial eye starts my feet a-waving bye-bye. There'll be no double harness that I can untie. Happy-go-lucky am I. Bye-bye. Happy-go-lucky am I. Bye-bye. Happy-go-lucky.
Trouble at Rick's table.
Who cheated who?
Better put that away.
He won't pay off.
I don't know what all the fuss is about. I gave him an IOU.
It's worthless. He hasn't a penny. Is that true?
Of course. If I had any money, I wouldn't have written it.
Sounds like a reasonable explanation.
At any rate, if you lack in ethics, you more than make up for marks.
You should see me when I'm not nervous.
There's nothing to be nervous about, Mr. Harper. I'll sit it for you.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Of course, if you gentlemen object.
Can I see the color of your coin?
Try your other boot.
Zoe comes off the stage and walks over to the card table. She takes off a shimmering bracelet.
This should cover his play.
She lays the bracelet on the table and walks away. Ben examines the bracelet, then puts it back down and sits, facing the gambler opposite.
One hand showdown for everything in the pot, including Mr. Harper's IOU.
Go ahead.
The gambler pushes all his chips into the center of the table with the bracelet. Ben cuts and riffle shuffles the cards, then repeats and gives them a quick Hindu shuffle. He lays the deck down. The gambler cuts the cards and Ben completes the cut.
Once more, please.
Ben pauses for a second, then puts the cards down again. The gambler cuts them again and slides the bottom half to himself, leaving Ben just the top half to deal. Ben starts dealing cards face up to each of them. The gambler gets an ace, queen, jack and king, and Ben gets 2, 9, 5 and 6. Finally, the gambler gets a 7, and Ben gets a 2, making a single pair.
Slow start, fast finish.
Would you like to go again?
No thank you, gentlemen. I've got some business to attend to.
Ben and Rick go to the bar with the winnings.
Well, there's a bright new star in the gambling sky. Say, you ought to do this more often.
I only did it to get you out of a mess.
Say, speaking of a mess, I think you're walking into one yourself. How do you stand with her?
I still got to find out.
I wish you'd settle down to a life of crime and forget these distractions. The world is ours. Another town, another poker game, a handy bank to be cracked. And what do you say?
I'll tell you in a few moments. But just to be on the safe side, buy us a couple of horses.
Ha-ha! Now you're talking!
Rick slides the final few coins into his pocket and runs out. Ben strolls over to Zoe's dressing room and knocks. An American Indian woman answers.
I'd like to see Miss Fontaine.
Come in, Mr. Martin.
Andre's in there alone.
Leave us, why? Well, I see you won.
Yes, I wanted to return this to Miss Fontaine.
I'll save you a lot of bother. I'll tell her you brought it back. Pretty, isn't it? Expensive, too.
Andre puts the bracelet on the dressing table.
I consider it rather a good investment.
I suppose it is. Is she here? I want to see her.
I'm afraid that's not possible.
Why?
Because she doesn't wish to see you.
Is that her idea or yours?
Let's say we agreed it would be best this way. You see, Mr. Martin, she told me a little about you. I fully sympathize with your position. It's not an enviable one, being the old friend who comes back to find things slightly changed.
You mean unwelcome?
I didn't want to put it that bluntly, but as long as we understand each other, I have one further suggestion. Don't come back.
I won't. Tell her I said goodbye.
I already did.
Ben looks back, then leaves. Smiling, Andre shuts the door. Rick's outside with two horses and runs back towards the saloon as Ben comes out.
Hey, that was quick. I can tell by your face you got dry goss.
I didn't even see you.
I hope this isn't going to interfere with our plans, Ben.
Are those the horses?
That they are. They're fast, loving animals. One for you, one for me.
I hate to do this to you, Rick, but I'm going to have to take my share now.
Hey, you're not pulling on me.
I told you I had to get it settled, and it's not settled.
How much time are you going to waste on this silly affair?
A lot more time than you got.
Me? You're the one that's run out of time.
You'll do a lot better without me anyway.
Well, of all the ignorant ungrateful, I hope they hang you!
Ben rides off on one of the horses. Andre, on the balcony, watches Rick climb onto the other horse.
Mr. Harper, were you thinking of leaving town?
You bet I am. What's it to you?
I've noticed you have some unusual characteristics, one of them being an aversion to money moving in any direction except toward you.
You're right there.
How would you like to keep it moving that way? Come up and have a drink.
What are we waiting for?
My key, please.
Oh, there's a message here for you, Mr. Martin.
The hotel manager hands the letter to Ben, who opens it. Dear Ben, I can't see you tonight, but after the show tomorrow night, come to the last house on River Street. Zoe.
Who brought this?
I don't know. It was here when I came in.
I won't need this.
Ben pushes his room key back and strides back out. Beneath a dark evening sky, Ben rides along a track to a quiet house behind a white picket fence. Ben gets off the horse, walks up the front path, and onto the veranda. Zoe, in a long pink nightie and dressing gown, comes out of her bedroom.
Who is it?
Said you wanted to see me.
She opens the door and Ben comes in.
Well, you look surprised. I know your note said tomorrow night, but being such old friends, I figured you could squeeze me in tonight.
You didn't have to say that, Ben.
What'd you expect me to say?
Stony-faced, Ben walks past her, puts his hat down on an armchair, and looks around the comfortably furnished living room. He opens a silver box and takes out a long cigar.
Say, he does all right for himself, doesn't he?
He looks round at Zoe, who rubs her arm.
And so do you. I don't blame you, Zoe. I blame myself for thinking it might have been different. I kind of asked for it, didn't I?
I was hoping your mind had grown up with the rest of you.
I haven't had the advantages you've had.
He shuts the box.
Anyway, let's have a drink to it.
Ben pours from a decanter.
To all those dear, dead dreams.
All right, Ben. That's the way you want it.
That's the way it is. I was going to say this beats that cheap little ranch we used to talk about. There's something cheap about this, too.
You're wrong, Ben. You're so wrong.
Ben walks up to her, a cold look in his eyes.
Have fun, honey.
Hurry up, get out.
That's not a nice way to say goodbye.
I didn't say goodbye, you did.
I could have said a lot more, but I wasn't going to.
Say anything you want, think anything you want. Just get out of here.
Ben steps to the door, then looks back at her.
Well, why don't you go?
He gazes at her as she fights back tears.
Because I don't want to.
He sits down on the steps, solemnly.
Not this way, I don't.
Oh, Ben.
He holds her.
I know it looks bad. I can't help how it looks.
Forget it. It's none of my business.
Ben, I don't love him.
I said I don't blame you. It's a lot better than I can do. Maybe that's what hurts. He's got a price in his pocket, and I've got it on my head.
You think that's the difference, don't you?
Isn't it?
No. Everything's just as it was, Ben, unless you want to make it different.
I was hoping you'd say that. But it's not that easy. They're still looking for Ben Matthews, remember?
Let them look. You can't clear your name in this town, Ben. They'll kill you first. There's only one way. Run, and don't look back. This time you won't go alone.
You know what you're giving up?
Nothing. Some furniture and a man with too much ambition. You don't know him, Ben. He's beat everybody, even the law.
A cafe owner?
A cafe owner that's gone every time there's a boat raid. Don't let him beat us, Ben. Do it my way, please.
There doesn't seem to be any other way. When can you go?
Tomorrow, after the last show. He's going upriver, and I'll meet you here. Be careful. Please be careful.
Excuse me.
What are you doing here?
I decided to hang around, try an honest job. Mr. Boucher's compliments, Miss Fontaine. And shouldn't you be in bed?
I don't understand.
I do. He's working for Boucher.
I'll tell you how it is, Ben. You had a mighty small welcome when you came here, and it shrunk. Now, Mr. Boucher has a special way all his own of dealing with pests. But I put in a good word for you. At the risk of my job, I told him you'd leave peaceable. Now, will you?
I thought he was your friend.
Not at the moment.
Come on, Ben. This is for your own good. They're going to run you out of town anyhow. I just don't want to see you get hurt. Now, let's go.
Good night, Zoe.
Ben suddenly pushes Rick's gun away and hits him. Rick fights back and the two men trade blows. Ben knocks Rick onto his backside, then pounces on him. They roll on the floor. They clamber to their feet, still fighting, and Rick hits Ben with a right hook, sending him flipping backwards over the couch. Ben gets to his feet and punches Rick onto the couch, then pulls him up and pounds him with hard punches. A right cross sends Rick crashing through the glass front door as Andre arrives outside in the back of an open coach. Andre watches Ben and Rick fighting on the veranda, Ben finally punching Rick over the railing by the front door.
I didn't realize Miss Fontaine was entertaining tonight.
The show is over and I'm just leaving.
Just a minute.
Let him go, Andre. I told him he wasn't welcome.
He was told that before. I wanted to find out for myself.
What did you find out?
Just like the lady says, I'm not wanted here.
And you never were. And you never should have come here. You just caused me to be embarrassed. I wish you'd go before you make any more trouble.
You heard?
Andre's heavy as a gun.
You don't take hints very well, do you?
Andre swipes Ben across the face with his belt. Zoe runs inside as Andre hits Ben a couple more times.
Now get up and get out!
Andre's heavy, Neil points a gun at Ben, who staggers to his feet and stumbles away. Andre looks round at Neil.
Clean up the yard.
Andre goes inside. Another heavy ride into town with an extra horse. They stop outside the hotel and dismount. Burly Neil strides into the hotel and steps up to the front desk where the manager's working.
Here, can I help you?
Mr. Martin's still here.
Yes, is anything wrong?
No, just overstayed his welcome. Tell him you want his room.
Well, I can't do that.
Now.
Yes.
Looking tense and unhappy, the manager walks down the hallway to Ben's room.
Just a minute. Yes?
Mr. Martin, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Well, why? I'm paid up till the night.
I'm sorry, but you've got to go.
Ben follows the manager's gaze to Neil, leaning on the front desk.
I'll give you the money back on your room.
Keep the change. I'll be out in a minute.
The manager walks back to the desk and turns round the visitor's book to write in it.
How's business?
Great. Turning them away every day.
Neil looks back at him frustily as he walks out. The manager writes in the book, then carries on with his work. Neil comes out of the hotel, and he and the other heavy get back on their horses. They walk their horses across the street and wait. Andre comes by in the back of his open coach. Wearing smart black suit and matching Stetson, he looks around idly. Andre smiles wryly at Neil and the other heavy as he passes them. Ben comes out of the hotel and climbs onto the horse they brought for him. Ben and the two heavies face each other across the street. Ben canters away on his chestnut horse past a blacksmith's, and Neil and the other heavy follow him. Ben rides across wild, hilly grassland, followed by Neil and the other goon. Ben passes a wooden gate on which is a sign, Triangle C Ranch, no trespassing, brand comfort. Ben looks back towards the ranch, then digs his heels into his horse's flanks and gallops on up the track. The two heavies also quicken their pace to keep up with him. Ben has galloped into the dry, dusty wilderness, with the heavies staying on his tail. Ben comes to a wooden bridge, but pauses and gallops down the bank to the river. The water is up to the horse's stomach, but Ben urges it on along the river. Neil and the other heavy come to the bridge and cross it. They stop their horses on the other side and look around. Ben rides his horse out of the river and into the Triple C Ranch. He looks back and watches the heavies ride back across the bridge. Ben gallops across the meadow and comes to the farmyard. He finds Brand and one of his farmhands outside the farmhouse.
Mr. Comfort.
Well, if it isn't my old shipmate from the pirate raid, Mr. Martin.
You told me to look you up, remember, sir?
Well, I'm glad you did. Giff, you'd better take care of Mr. Martin's horse. Giff will fix him up. Out here, we're mighty gentle with horses, Mr. Martin. You seem to have ridden yours pretty hard.
I've had to. If you can spare me some time, I'd like to tell you about it.
Why, of course. Come on in. You never got a line on those pirates, did you?
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, sir. I think I have.
Brand shows Ben into his comfortable, elegant lounge.
Have a look around, son. I do a bit of collecting, as you can see.
So I heard. From your brother.
My brother? I didn't know you knew him. When was that?
I was on the boat the night he was killed.
3 years ago.
The thing I remember most about him was he was a fair man.
You have a good memory.
I don't think I'll ever forget that night. And I'm sure you haven't.
No. It's not a thing anybody around here is liable to forget. But I wish they would. Sit down, son.
Thank you.
Matt was a big loss to me, and a lot of me died with him. Perhaps I'm being selfish, but I've had my share of painful memories, and all that talk in the world isn't going to bring my brother back. So why don't we talk about pirates and forget the past?
I don't think we can, Mr. Comfort.
Why is that, Ben?
They're one and the same. I better tell you who I am. Unless you've already guessed.
They were looking for some boy at the time. An accomplice of the gambler. That couldn't be you, could it?
It could. And you could go to the marshal and tell him, but I don't think you will.
You apparently think I'm as fair as my brother.
If I didn't, I wouldn't be telling you this.
Just what is it you're telling me? That you're innocent?
I'll let you and the law decide that, but you gotta hear me through first. This may come as a surprise to you, Mr. Comfort, but the same gang that's been raiding the boats killed your brother. And the man behind it all is André Boucher.
Boucher?
That's right, but I know it's hard for you to believe.
Yes, it is a little difficult to imagine. I've known him for years.
But you don't know with a mask on, and the man that killed your brother wore a mask. And he had another trademark, a silver-studded belt. I got it full in the face that night on a boat, and last night I got it again from Boucher.
I think you're off someplace, Ben. Even granting the raids, what possible motive would Boucher have had for killing Matt? There's no connection.
But there is a connection.
Ben notices the wooden chief standing in the corner.
What's the matter?
That wooden Indian. Where'd you get it?
I don't recall. Bought it someplace. Why?
There was a wooden Indian in your brother's stateroom.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't that one.
I hate to disagree with you, Mr. Comfort, but I was sure it was. There was a chip spot on its slip, and it's still here. Only somebody's been trying to cover it up.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Ben walks over to face Brand.
I don't think you bought this Indian.
Why, you make this sound like a crime. Certainly you're not asking me to account for that Indian.
I think you better account for the Indian, Mr. Comfort. It doesn't belong in an innocent man's house. That's the same one Boucher stole from your brother.
Next thing you'll be saying, Boucher and I are partners. I'm disappointed in you, Ben. You're not much of a sleuth.
And suppose we get a better one. We'll go see the marshal.
Don't be ridiculous.
Get up, Mr. Comfort. I've got another idea. I'm going to prove you and Boucher are working hand in hand. We'll start with your safe.
What do you expect to find in there?
Whatever it is you're trying to hide. Hurry up.
Ben holds a revolver and Brand unlocks his safe, which has a Western scene painted on the door. Brand opens it.
Let me see those papers.
The farmhand steps behind Ben with a rifle.
Drop it.
Ben drops his gun.
Over by the fireplace.
Brand's picked up Ben's gun and Ben walks over to the fireplace.
This man's wanted for murder, Giff.
Giff, the farmhand, aims the rifle and Ben throws himself to the floor as he fires. Giff takes aim again and is shot. Rick's at the window and Brand shoots at him. Rick shoots back, hitting Brand. Ben jumps over to Brand, grabs the revolver and knocks out Giff, who's just coming to. Rick climbs in through the window.
How's the other one?
For the moment, out of business.
Alive or dead, Ben, you don't seem to know who your friends are.
I do now. Thanks for dropping in, Mr. Harper.
Don't mention it. You know, you cost me a job. Boucher don't keep men on who can't hold their own.
Well, you held your own here.
I figured you needed a hand when I saw those two hyenas trailing you.
Wait a minute. I don't know how you feel, but I got an itchy finger.
What do you think of the old geezer's safe?
I think we ought to air it out.
Well, that's more like it.
There's something special I want in there.
Ben, there's something special about every safe. Money.
Rick turns the dial and listens at the safe door.
I'm a little rusty at this, but it'll come back to me.
Andre and his goons rush in, firing, and Ben and Rick run into a kitchen.
Who's saying the law? The chair!
Ben shuts the door and Rick wedges a chair against it. Andre, Neil, and another heavy run to the kitchen door and try to open it. More men approach the back door.
No!
Ben and Rick run upstairs as one of the men outside kicks at the back door. Ben and Rick jump out of an upstairs window and run across the yard. Andre and his goons force the kitchen door open as the other men come in from outside. Ben and Rick have climbed onto a pair of horses and gallop through a barn. They fire their pistols, spooking a herd of other horses and sending them running across the yard. Rick and Ben gallop away. Ben and Rick gallop across the dry desert on their horses. Andre and about 10 more men race after them on horseback. They chase across the parched, hilly scrubland, kicking up clouds of dust. Ben and Rick pull up their horses by some rocks and look around.
This is no place for a choir boy!
Rick, you'll never make it!
Meet me in St. Louis!
Rick!
Rick's left his horse and clambers up the rocky slope alone. Andre's men run at Ben firing. Ben gallops off. He gets halfway up a slope as bullets ricochet round him. Ben drops off his horse but manages to keep hold of the rein as Andre and his goons gallop closer. At the top of the slope, Ben jumps back on his horse and rides off. Night, and Ben arrives back at Brand's ranch. He jumps off his horse, tethers its rein to a cartwheel, and cautiously runs towards the farmhouse, keeping low. He climbs over the white wooden fence onto the veranda. He steps up to the open window and carefully climbs in. Ben looks around the dark lounge, then walks over to the safe. He glances round cautiously, then opens the safe door. He strikes a match and looks inside the safe, but it seems to be completely empty. Looking disappointed, he blows out the match. Neil gallops into town and ties up his horse over the road from the saloon. Carrying a Gladstone bag, he walks across to the saloon, where inside Zoe is singing on stage.
Your heart will heal.
Zoe watches Neil stride across the barroom, holding the bag.
Give me your love, my dear.
Neil climbs the stairs to the landing, opens one of the doors and goes in.
My dear.
Zoe climbs the stairs to the landing and looks in through the open door. Neil shuts it. Zoe walks on along the landing to her dressing room and goes in. The American Indian lady Vi is setting the table. Zoe walks over to her dressing table, sits down and straightens her hair in the mirror. Ben comes to her balcony door and looks in at her through the glass, gesturing towards Vi. Zoe stands up and acts nonchalant.
Vi, I'd like to rest a little. Come back later.
Vi leaves. Once she's gone, Zoe rushes over and locks the door, then opens the balcony door and lets Ben in.
I know what happened, Ben.
I should have listened to you, Zoe, and let well enough alone.
It didn't prove anything, did it?
No, someone else has got the proof, and I've got the law after me again. And they're hunting Rick. Hunting him because he killed a crook to save my life.
Oh, Ben, I told you how they were. Boucher and all of them. Let's do what we said we were going to do before it's too late. I'll get you some coffee.
I can use some.
Ben. See these valises? They're going on the boat tonight, and I'm going with them.
Where?
Wherever you're going to meet me.
Ben sips his coffee and looks at her.
All right. Wait for me at the hotel in Pierre.
We'll make it this time, you'll see. They're back. Hurry, Ben.
She rushes him back over to the balcony door and he leaves. Ben walks around the outdoor balcony to the ladder, then stops. A posse brings Rick into town on horseback, his hands tied together. Ben watches as Andre and his goons ride over.
No, that
he's in the neighborhood. We get him yet. I have a feeling that this town would be much better off without you, Mr. Harper.
Well, why don't we give it a trial separation and see? I'm willing.
What do you plan to do with him?
Lock him up. The marshal's coming in on the boat. He'll settle it.
I know a quicker way to settle it.
Why not? He killed Brandon Comfort in cold blood.
We got the makings of a trial just amongst us.
Yeah.
He'll keep your guns away.
Why don't they string him up?
The deputy takes Rick away.
There seems to be a crying need for justice around here.
Andre looks round at the approaching riverboat.
We're rather short of time.
Perhaps if we lit a bonfire on the dock, it would delay the boat. The rest is up to you.
Come on, let's get that wharf burning.
Yeah, that'll keep the marshal from landing.
Andre rides towards the saloon and dismounts, leaving the locals to plot among themselves. They gallop towards Rick and the deputy. The deputy pulls his gun, but his spooked horse rears up, throwing him off. Rick desperately tries to fight the men back with his tied hands. One of the men gets a rope around Rick and pulls him off his horse. Ben can only watch from the balcony as Rick is dragged along the street. The angry townspeople run behind Rick towards the hanging pole. Ben pulls his gun, then through the window beside him sees Andre come into the room that Neil's in.
This is it. Everything from Brand Comfort's safe.
The other one got away.
That's too bad. I know you sort of counted on a double hanging.
He knows about these papers. He's just fool enough to go to the marshal.
I don't think that'll do him any good if you burn them.
You don't know much about the law, do you? They suspect you. It's like a fire. Once started, it's difficult to put out. I don't want them talking. We're going out again. This time we'll get him. Get the horses ready.
Neil goes and Ben climbs into the room as Andre starts to burn the papers in the fireplace.
Get away from that fire.
Ben punches Andre and pulls the papers out of the flames. He slaps them on the floor to put them out as Andre throws a chair at him. On the riverboat, Marshal Summers walks along the deck to the front and stares at a large bonfire on the dockside, preventing them from docking.
Sheer away, keep clear. We'll put her in downstream.
The townsfolk have hung a noose from the hanging pole as the cart is brought over. Ben and Andre are still fighting as Ben punches him out, then sets about properly putting out the smouldering papers. Andre's taken off his belt and swings it at Ben, who ducks, then punches him several times. Ben grabs the papers, kicks away the belt, then kicks Andre to wake him up.
Let's go.
The riverboat draws up to the bank and Marshal Summers jumps off, followed by several armed men. Rick is on the back of the cart and the noose is forced round his neck. Ben brings Andre onto the saloon balcony.
Hold it down there!
Make him stop or I'll shoot. Hurry up.
How do you know I'm that persuasive?
For your sake, you better be.
Get away from those horses! Zoe, get a hold of them!
Zoe grabs the horse at the cart.
All right, Boucher, talk. This man has a gun on my back. I don't doubt that he knows how to use it, because he's used it before. 3 years ago, to murder Matt Comfort.
Tell him the truth.
Today, he and the man you're about to hang murdered Matt Comfort's brother.
I warn you.
Two of Andre's men slip away.
He wants me to stop this hanging. He says if I don't, he's going to kill me.
That doesn't leave me much choice, does it?
Tell us what to do, Boucher.
I'll tell you what to do. Cut the rope, or you'll all answer for this hanging.
There's not going to be any hanging.
Summers and his men have arrived.
Get that man down.
One of Summers' men gets onto the cart to release Rick from the noose. Summers calls up to the balcony.
Who's your friend, Boucher?
A gunman wanted for murder.
It's the other way around, Marshal. You remember the incident the night the Matt Comfort was murdered?
Yes, and I remember you, too. Ben something.
Ben Matthews. And I've got the proof that Boucher and Matt's brother were partners in the boat raids.
Ben tosses the bundle of papers off the balcony and Summers catches it.
What do you say to this, Boucher?
Nothing, except that he's lying.
Suppose we find out. I suggest that both of you come down here and we'll talk it over. Any objections?
None whatever.
I'll be waiting right here. Cover the back of the saloon.
If you don't mind.
Andre and Ben head in. One of Andre's men shoots from an opposite balcony, just missing Ben. The man shoots again and hits Andre in the chest. Ben shoots back and hits the man, who falls off the balcony. Ben opens a trapdoor and climbs down the saloon balcony ladder to the street. Holding his gun by the barrel, he walks over to Summers.
I'll take your gun, Matthews. Ah, well armed.
That's health insurance in this town, Marshal.
And who do we have here?
The last of the Harpers.
Thanks to you, Mr. Matthews.
Both you men are under arrest. We'll have a hearing with Mr. Boucher present.
Hearing the crash, one of Summers' men goes to the saloon door. Weak and wounded Andre has climbed onto the stage, breaking one of the footlights. He hauls himself to his feet. Summers, Ben, Rick, Zoe, and a couple more men come into the saloon as Andre leans on the piano, looking sick.
You wanted to speak to me, Marshal.
Summers holds his gun.
I heard some odd stories about you when I was upriver, from a man who worked for you. He was one of the pirates on the last raid.
Yes, and a very good one, too.
You don't deny it, then?
Why should I? Ships seem to be down, Marshal. As you see, I'm wounded. Any discussion of my past would be as useless as discussing my future.
Andre slowly and unsteadily walks down the steps from the stage. He leans heavily against the bar, looking like he might collapse.
Whatever you don't know about my activities, I'm sure you'll find in those documents. Meanwhile,
he pours a drink.
I'd like to buy you all a drink. I'm sorry to treat you out of a hanging. It would have been a stylish one. Just as I promised you, Zoe. Better luck. Next.
Andre passes out and Rick and Summers catch him. Later, Giff's with them in the bar as Summers looks through the papers.
You're a bad liar, Giff.
Yeah, I know it.
He's also a bad shot.
That ain't no crime.
In your case, it is. Wade.
Yes, Marshal.
Jail him.
Summers looks across at Ben.
He turned out to be a pretty good witness for you. But your best witness was Matt Comfort. He trusted you, son.
I know. Too bad he trusted his brother.
If he hadn't, Matt might have looked in that wooden Indian. They couldn't have picked a better place to hide the gold that night. Or a more honest man to smuggle for them.
Zoe comes in, dressed for traveling.
Goodbye, Ben.
Thanks, Marshal.
Marshal, I want to take my hat off to you. You're a monument to justice, believe me.
You're quite a fancier of other people's horses, aren't you?
Me? Oh, Marshal, that's a terrible thing to say about a man.
I'm going
to
give you about 15 seconds to get out of town and never come back. One.
Ben, I guess you don't need a guide anymore.
He's got one.
Pay us a visit after we get the locks on the doors.
10.
I get a fast ride ahead of me.
Time's up.
So long, Rick.
Rick rushes out of the saloon. He runs across the road and mounts a horse as Summers, Zoe, and Ben come out.
So long, Ben.
Bye, Rick.
He gallops off.
Say, he didn't have a horse.
Got one now.
Yeah, mine. No charges, Marshal.
Zoe takes Ben by the arm, and carrying cases, they walk across the main street to the waiting riverboat. The End, a Universal Pictures release. Audio description by Deluxe.